Morning, guys. Welcome to Tuesday Manna. Today, I want to talk to you guys about the one superpower that every human has. Of course, I'm speaking figuratively. We don't have superhuman strength or speed or can turn invisible or anything like that. But we do have a power within us that I believe is more powerful than the strongest man, that can break through any defense, and is something we don't think about a whole lot. That power is, drumroll, it's your words, what you say. Today I want to look at how powerful our words are, and I want to see how we can control those words. Before we do that, let's take our words and let's pray over this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and I thank you so much for these mornings, God, that we can dive into your word, God, that we can just learn more about you. I pray that you would be here, that you would speak through this vessel, and God, I just pray that you would edify us in your word. We thank you for that, God. Go before us, we pray. It's in your name. Amen. All right, so I want to look at a couple Old Testament stories to just kind of prove how powerful our words are. And I'm talking our words. The first story is obviously God, and God has a lot more power than us, but that's kind of a no doubt, right? But think about creation. Everything that we see, God created by speaking words out. Well, I should say everything but one thing. 10 points, whoever got that one thing. Anybody? Just kidding. I'll tell you what it is. The one thing that he didn't create with his words, he created with his hands. He molded in the clay. And that was us. He took time to intimately mold us and then breathe his life into us. That just speaks so amazingly to the love that he has for us. And I just think that's powerful. But everything else, he used his mouth. He spoke words and everything came into existence, right? Adam and Eve, he breathed into. And they were created in his image. And we are created in his image. And with that, our words may not have the power of God's words, but our words have power. And today I want to look at a few things to prove that to you. And I want to talk about how our words can have the most power. So, another Old Testament story, right? We got Joshua and the army of the Israelites going in and taking out Jericho. Okay? So, interesting thing. Normally, they would set up a siege and they would take down the walls, right? And this God says, no, that's not how we're going to do it. You're going to walk around the wall once a day for 6 days, right? So they walk around the wall once a day, 6 days. On the seventh day, they're to walk around it 7 times. And on the seventh time, they blow the trumpets, they shout, and the walls come down. The interesting thing about this is the other times that they walked around the wall, they were to be silent. Every day, they were silent as they walked around the wall. On the seventh day, they were silent the 6 times. And then on that 7th time, they all shouted and God worked his mysterious power, right? His supernatural power. And those walls came down. Again, they used their voices. So in Genesis, we see how God created everything with his words. And in Joshua, we see how words can destroy. I believe that our power has both. We can create things in people. And we can destroy things in people. It says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. So death and life are in the power. And with every power, there's a catch, right? We have this power, but we can't control it. It talks about that in James. So I want to turn to James 3 today, and we're going to read through a little bit about why we can't control this power, and then we're going to talk about how we can gain control of it, okay? So, James 3, and I'll be again reading from the New King James Version. Just have favorite Bible. Sorry for all you ESVers out there. I love that too, but just love this Bible. So, James 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, okay? My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. In word. Doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Excuse me. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can your fig, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. So, according to James, right, no man can tame the tongue. And it also said, I repeated it, right, he who does not stumble in word is a perfect man. Okay, we know James is talking about everyone after Jesus because we know that Jesus was a man. And we know that Jesus was perfect in all he did. He was lacking sin. Unlike us, he was without sin. And Jesus spoke words. So the only way that we can control our words is to give the throne of our lives over to the one man who was able to control his, and that's Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. There's power of life and death in your words, right? And I'm thinking about prayer here. How do we communicate with God? God communicates with us through his word, right? And we communicate to God with our words. We talk to him. He desires that relationship from us. We pray. Prayer, right? Remember Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saves, and is saved, excuse me. So with our mouth, we confess and are saved. Now, that's not something we do, right? We can't save ourselves. Thank goodness. He wouldn't have to send his son, right? But we can't save ourselves. So God sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice so that we can confess him as Lord and thus control the greatest power that we have. So, if you haven't ever accepted Jesus as Savior, I'm encouraging you now, go to a friend that you know that's a Christian. Go to your pastor at your church and pray, right? You can sit down and you can pray to God yourself too. Pray to him. Acknowledge Jesus as Savior, right? And if you have, then I have another charge for you today. If you're a Christian out there, my charge is for you to watch your words today. Because if we see somebody down and out, guess what? We can lift them up with an encouraging word. We can create something in them that gives them life, right? We water it. God plants it, okay? But if we see somebody that's down, we can also kick them down further with what we say. So today I want you to think about those words. Look for people that you can lift up, that you can encourage with a loving word in Christ, and create that love in them, so that they can see your Father in heaven and they may become saved as well. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.